All right. Praise the Lord. Everyone, welcome into Risen Life. Let's go ahead and open with prayer and get the message started. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God today. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the physical and mental ability to be here. Father, we don't take it lightly. We pray, Father, for those that are not here yet, Lord, those that are coming, give them safe journey. Those that may be at home and can't attend today, we pray that the blessings of the Lord will reach them through this videos, Lord. We pray your blessings upon their lives, Lord. Bless and heal them, Lord Jesus. Protect and keep them according to your word and your promise. Father, we invite you, the Holy Spirit, we invite you into this house today. You have your way, your reign. Lead and guide us into the direction that we should go. You have rule over each and every facet of this service, and I surrender myself as your vessel. Let your words be my words be your words, and your thoughts be my thoughts, Father. Let nothing of myself come forth, only what you have given this vessel to teach today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you all for being here today. Last week, God put a sermon, a title on my heart, and I actually think it's going to be a ministry that my husband will have and walk in one day. We're going to talk about being dormant. Through the scripture, in the Old Testament especially, you will find references to dormant. You will find references to gatekeepers, even keepers of the thresholds. Very important part, actually, in 1 Chronicles 9 and 22, you will see David actually appointed 212 doorkeepers or doormen to keep the doors. And, of course, they had, let me read the insert that I found on this. It's when I was researching it. These formed a numerous sacred order. From the time of David, their duties and their words, describing them in two passages as keeper of the thresholds, 1 Corinthians 9 and 19, and the porters of the threshold. Now, porter is basically like what we would call a janitor nowadays as well, as many other functions, but that's 2 Chronicles 23 and 4. Connect them in some measure with the keepers of the threshold. They guarded the gates of the house of Yahweh, 1 Corinthians 9 and 23. I'm not going to read all these scriptures. Closing and opening them at the proper time. Preventing the unclean from entering the sacred enclosure. They had charge of the sacred vessels and of the free will offering. And they dwelt in the chambers above the temple. They were Leviticus. And they came in from the Levitical villages every seventh day for service in their term, which means a new doorkeeper would come on day seven, and he would stay 7 days, and then the next one would come. So they took turns. Their office was honorable, ranking with the singers after the priest and the Leviticus. They had an honorable thing. We don't think as our doorkeepers of something important in our day and time. Even the porters, you know what a porter is? Basically a janitor. When you see that word, it also refers to one of their duties was to care for these sacred items within the room that they were assigned to care for. Psalms 84 and 10 talks about a reference to being a gatekeeper, but I want to read, we as the children of God must choose to keep our doors and our gates. If you will, we are guarding what we see, what we hear, even our thoughts must be compared to what is the standard that Jesus set for us and that the Holy Word calls as his standard and his righteousness. Doorkeepers, even the gatekeepers used in the Old Testament, they had various jobs, and I read you a description of it, and requirements. They were Leviticals. They were Levites. They were priestly, and so are we. They were to guard not only what was in, what was coming in, they were to guard and take care of what was inside as well. Psalms 84 and 10, the New Living Translation says, a single day in your courts is better than a thousand anywhere else. This is New Living Translation. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live in the good life in the homes of the wicked. Many do not honor the importance of gatekeeping or doorkeeping, but it is a calling and is a necessity for us today as then. We are to honor those who guard our entrances. We have a gentleman posted at the doors. They open the doors for you. They greet you friendly. But he's not only there to do that. We were having a meeting not too long ago, and he sat in the car, my husband did, the doorman, and he watched because there were still people in the parking lot that didn't belong to this church. And he watched and he waited until everyone was gone, and then he just came inside the door and waited. Until someone showed up who needed assistance, and he was able to get the right person notified within the meeting. But doorkeeping is important not only for our establishment here, but for our spiritual lives. So it is an honor to be able to keep your doors, to be a gatekeeper in your spiritual life. They guard our entrances to our churches as well as ourselves. We have pastors and leaders in this church. And then you have people that you love and who love you, and they will call your stink when they have to. That's a doorkeeper. That's a gatekeeper. And then we want to be offended when pastor or the leaders or someone I love calls me out and says, hey, look, I don't think this is lining up with what you should be doing. And then we want to be angry. I'm a pastor's daughter. I know all about that. I've seen it firsthand, unfortunately. Unfortunately. It's no different today. Even on the job, if you have any kind of position and you call someone's problem out, you know, and even privately, they become angry and then they go out and they bash you and talk about you. And, you know, that was unnecessary when all we're doing is following the rules of what's been set forth for us. Another doorkeeper. The Bible says that you are to honor those that are put above you. Even, you know, the governments and even down to, you know, the servants are to obey the masters. So when you doorkeep for people, they're not always going to appreciate it. The problem is, if they would do that for themselves, we wouldn't have that issue to begin with, would we? No. We all dislike it when God points out things in our lives. Oh, none of us like that, you know. Which has access to us, giving, of course, the enemy access to us. But we are worthy to be kept by him. Remember how worthy you are? His son died for you, horribly died for you. Lived a life where they tried to stone him many times, but he did all that for us. And then he gave up his life. And then he rose again so that we could spend eternity with him. But we get offended when we have to abide by what we see and what we're taught and what is God's standard. If we would learn to doorkeep ourselves, I know it's not pleasant, but it is the best thing for us. He warns us to keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts and minds by the gate, by the door. Who's the door? Jesus is the door. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I have found that doorkeeping not only is preventing what is out here from getting in, it's sometimes what's already in here has to go. We used to call those bouncers back in the day. I don't know what y'all called them. They had multiple jobs. Just don't hold that against me. But it's the truth. Holy Spirit that's the Spirit's job, is to show you those things, and you got to bounce them out. You got to get rid of them. You got to let them go. All right, door or gatekeeping was important in the city and the temple because the business in biblical times was done at the gate, and at the doors of the temple. There was a lot of transactions, legal transactions went on. So there was, the doorkeeper was a very important part of that. You know, these keepers were of the priestly tribe. They were responsible for the upkeep of rooms. They had janitorial services. Don't you ever look down on a person that cleans the church, because that is a holy service to God. And if you're too good to do that, you have a problem. That's my personal opinion there. I think you have a problem. My husband and I clean churches, and we're still doing it. We clean churches for years. I've done it as a child my whole life because my dad was the pastor, and no one else would do it. Tells you a lot about them, don't it? And you're not too good to do that. As well as the treasures of the temple. They were in charge of some of the treasures as well. When you see how important it is to maintain your gate or your doors of your life, your ears, your eyes, your heart and mind, it is easy to understand how the enemy can gain access to you through these portals, the doors and the gates. He can go in and he can dirty up your room, the room of your heart and your mind. He can twist things, you know, like he did in the garden. Did he really say that you would be like God? You're going to be like God. He just, you know, just puts that idea, kind of just twists the truth just a little bit. And it's kind of like, oh, really? Yeah. And before you know it, you're operating out of the will of God. And not only does he want to do that, but he wants to steal your godly treasure. What is your godly treasure? It's your love, your joy, your peace, your temperance, your long-suffering. It's the things that help you walk through this life as Christ-like. He wants you to step out to the other side. Guard your doors with the Word of God and the mind of Christ. So when a thought comes to me, sometimes they're not my own. They just drop in my head. My husband says, why does it just drop in your head and come out your mouth? I don't know. We've got to learn to guard them. So here's my thought. It's been dropped into my head. What's the first thing I should do? I should talk to God about it first. Jesus, is this true? You know what he's going to say? Go to the Word. What does the Word say? Does that line up with the Word? If this thought doesn't line up with the Word, then you know what happens to this thought? I get rid of it. I speak the truth. Now, some of y'all ain't ready for some of this other stuff. When you go to the movies, does it line up with the Word of God? Does what you listen to for entertainment line up with the Word of God? Does it speak truth, or does it put you in a place where you don't need to be, having thoughts that you shouldn't have? Oh, let me get you another one. Come here, sister. Come here, Lisa. Y'all ain't ready for the rest of this. Here's my friend, Lisa. I know her as a godly woman, but if I had just met Lisa, I would sit and watch her life, because I want to know, does it line up with this? If it doesn't, do you know what my relationship with Lisa will be? Not very close. I will be distant with Lisa. But if she is a child of God, her and I can be very close friends. How many people in your life are you not doorkeeping? Are you not gatekeeping with? Oh, yeah, I enjoy hanging out with them and just, you know, we just drink a little. We have a little mimosas on the beach. And, yeah, I know where that goes. Don't you, Lisa? That leads somewhere we don't need to be. Thank you, sis. I appreciate you. Are you gatekeeping every aspect of your life? I got another one for you. Oh, you're not going to like this. Are you gatekeeping this? What are you doing with this? Is what you're doing with this lining up with what this says to do with it? If it doesn't, you're out of line. And the enemy has access to you. And trust me, the Bible calls him the devourer of wealth. He comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his whole purpose. If you're not gatekeeping every aspect of your life, you've got a whole place the enemy can come in and entertain himself and suck you and pull you away from where you need to be. Take every thought captive. Every thought. Every person, every deed, everything that you're going to do, he cares about everything, because everything can cause you to walk in the wrong road and lead you to the path of destruction. Every little thing can do it. And I've told you this story many times. I used to love to watch movies, and there were certain ones that I enjoyed a whole lot. I went to one not too long ago. It's been several years. They come out with like a fourth of the trilogy, and I thought, oh, you know, I've seen them all, you know, back in the day. I need to go check this one out. And I walk out of that theater thinking and acting and wanting to behave in ways that are not becoming to a Christian woman. That's how easily I'm influenced. Maybe you're different, but I'm telling you, you're not. It will show up. What you watch, what you hear, it changes the process of your thoughts. It gets in that heart, and it starts showing up. So you've got to be very careful with everything. So one of the doors that we allow the enemy to have access to, besides our eyes and our ears, is our mind. And that's what I'm talking about. He keeps us bound up by memories. The good ones, the bad ones. Oh, I used to have so much fun hanging out with these people, and we used to go here and do that. Or I remember the bad thing that happened, and it keeps me from wanting to do and be. I'm afraid to step out and do anything else. But we must learn to be a doorman for our minds. Like the thought, when it came to me, if it didn't line up with the Word of God, what the Word says that I am, what the Word says that I should do, the Word says I should look like and behave like, then it's got to go. Same things with memories. Same things with feelings. Feelings are fickle. They come and go. I can live in my feelings really quick. I can get offended and be there all day long. And you can hear it and you can see it. That's something I need to doorkeep in my life. We've got to learn to cut the devil off. Just cut it off. Cut off the TV, cut off the music, cut off the movie, cut off friendships, cut off where I'm sinking my money into. Whatever the situation is, you've got to learn to cut it off, or it's going to cut you. When we get caught up in these things, we get caught up and we're not effective for the kingdom of God. We don't walk properly. We are not the witness that we're called to be. So what we've got to learn to cut everything off. I don't care. I don't care if you think it's the most boring life. Do you know what? Turn on the Bible. Get in the Word. That's some pretty interesting things in there. There was one lady that the enemy was running from the army, and he ended up in her tent, and she knew who he was. She put a spike through his head. That's my kind of woman. That's the way you should deal with the enemy. You don't entertain him. Doors, don't allow things, even memories, to have that power over you, to keep you bound. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. That is 1 Corinthians 2:16, New Living Translation. You have the mind of Christ. You have the ability to be and do according to that will if you allow it. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We can walk into our promises, our promised lands, or as the Israelites did in the wilderness. Do you remember? They remembered the food of Egypt. We're tired of this manna. We remember the garlics and the leeks of Egypt. And they stay captive by their memories in the desert. Is that the life you want for yourself? Christ didn't die for you to have that, did he? He died for you to have life and life more abundantly. But if you're caught up in memories and what could have been, what should have been, what thoughts that drop into your head, you've got to cut it off. Are you going to be like the Israelites wandering around in the desert thinking about what was and what I have now, not what I'm heading to, what I'm going forward to? We have a shepherd, and through him we have access to salvation. John 10, 1 through 5, New King James Version says, "Most assuredly I say," this is Jesus speaking, "he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." That means not everybody in the sheepfold is his. "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Isn't that amazing? Do you know his voice? Do you know how to know his voice? You know what's in the word. No two ways about it. If I hear something, and I've heard not just the Holy Spirit's voice, I've heard the enemy's voice. If I didn't understand this, how could I differentiate between the two? How could I? I couldn't. This is how I help myself be a better doorkeeper, as I know the word and I follow the voice of the shepherd. The one who gave his life for me. The one who says, "I am the door. And if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Those are good things to have. Salvation and pasture. That's a feeding. That's blessings. We must only allow our shepherd to have access through our doors. Those things that are holy and righteous and pure. Anything else is not of him. As the doorman of my life, we must know Jesus, the living word, his way, his voice, his presence, and take everything captive to him that is not and doesn't measure up to those things. Because the word said he's a robber and a thief. This is how we have salvation, peace, love, joy. That's the good pasture part. We guard our doors and only allow him access to our doors. We do this by keeping my word, keeping his word. Proverbs 4, 20 and 27. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your fate, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the left or right. Remove your foot from evil." Do you see the directions of the doors? Keep your eyes focused. Keep going forward. I think if the Israelites understood the promised land, the leeks and the garlics in Egypt would not have been an issue. The manna would have been sufficient at the time. But we kind of get bored with the mundane, don't we? Let's see what else it says. "Don't let the sayings of my words, don't let them leave from your eyes, from your ears. Hear them. They are life to you and health to your flesh." Those are promises. "Keep your heart with all diligence." That's walking suspectly, you know, watching for the enemy, knowing and understanding his attacks, what they are and how they come about, and being diligent to be away from those areas. "For out of it springs the issues up. Put away your deceitful mouth and your perverse lips." Speak life. Plain and simple, speak life. This is where life is. Speak this life. Ponder the path of your feet. When you have options, God, what direction do I go? Left, right, straight ahead, behind me? Where do you want me to go? Listen to Holy Spirit. He will lead and guide you. In all your ways, be established and don't turn to the left, and remove your foot from evil. That's a choice. You have got to walk away from it. You're guarding the door. I can't do that. I can't talk that way. I can't hang out with those people. I can't go to those places because it drags me back to where I used to be, and I don't want to ever go back there. Oh, yeah, it felt good. This is how the doorman guards his heart and his mind. The word ever before you and focused on God. All the world has to offer us, we must keep from our doors. The world promotes so many things, and not all of it's good. And sometimes we found out there are not only things there that we have to guard from, there are things here that we have to remove. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. First thing, the flesh. That's your carnal mind. That's your carnal nature. That's your desires and your passions and your lusts that go against the truth. Galatians 5 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. This is how you can tell. You got a friend, someone you've met, someone you want to hang out with, someone that looks like a boo or a bae. What are they? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I have told you in past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Guard your door against your own flesh. It's a constant battle. It's okay. It's just what it is. Second thing it talks about is your eyes. It's envy. The condition of your heart, which is a doorman that should be removed. Envy. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie about the truth, against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. That's the words. That's what envy is. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above, it is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, but by those who make peace. Envious is not something that makes peace, right? Actually, Proverbs 14 and 30 says, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. It's an actual physical manifestation in your flesh, your body. Envy. Envy is wanting what someone else has. Don't think envy doesn't happen in the church, because it does. Sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so, they do this, they have that. They have the blessing of God, but I don't seem to see any blessing in my life. My friend, that is that jealousy, which is just a friend of envy. He's usually the first symptom. Don't be envious. We all play a part. We all have something to do. I may just be the janitor, but I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, because everything I do is unto God and not unto man. Yes, I love those that play instruments. I tried to play instruments. Just wasn't my game. I couldn't do it. Sounded horrible. Father wasted money on all that. I just couldn't do it. Singing, maybe when I was younger. Maybe not. But everybody has a part. Pride, the kind of pride that stems from self-righteousness or conceit, is sin. However, and God hates it because it is a hindrance to seeking Him. Pride. Pride goes before destruction. Proverbs 16 and 18. 1 Corinthians 4 and 7 says, "What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift?" I got this on my own. No, good Lord gave you the wisdom and knowledge to be able to understand all those books and all that stuff so that you could operate according to what He has called you to do. If you're a mechanic, be the best mechanic, witness to people, bless the saints of God, and go on. That's your calling. There's no shame in that. That is something I don't have the ability to do. But I thank God for a good Christian mechanic who I know is not going to take advantage of me when my car is messed up. You don't think that that's not a blessing? Pride. Pride is another thing that's in the heart that needs to be taken out. Are you a doorman for your life? Everything of the world is passing away. Everything. Except what you're doing for God. That's it. Your relationship with Him. So, doorkeep. Be doormen. Be door women. My call today is to let you know, if it doesn't line up with this, it doesn't need to be in your life. There's a call to be holy as I am holy. Yes, that means, and you've heard me laugh about it, even the dress that I'm looking at. God, does it represent you well? Does my attitude represent you well? Does my mouth represent you well? The thoughts that are in my head that no one else can see or hear, does it represent a disciple of Jesus? Will it bring you honor and glory? And if it doesn't line up, get rid of it. Cut it off. Be the doorman that you are called to be. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you praise, glory, and honor. And I thank you, Lord, because I know in your temple there are many vessels, some for honor and some for dishonor. Help us, Lord Jesus, to make the choice to be the ones that honor you, that bring you glory in our everyday lives, not just here on Sunday, not just what people see here in this building, Father, but let us be men and women of God every day, every second, every minute of the day. Let us bring you glory and honor. Help us to be the doorman of our lives. Holy Spirit, you lead and guide and direct us. Give us your wisdom and understanding. We thank you for it. We thank you that you didn't leave us abandoned, that you sent the helper. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be obedient to the guiding of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.